Good evening. Again, it's good to be with you again. Encouraged by the presence of our visitors, we're thankful that you've come to be with us tonight. I encourage to just be here to assemble together. We've had some kind of cold and wet weather for about the last week or so, and to be able to assemble together in a good warm place and to hear songs of praise, and appreciate Mike for the selections of the songs. And it just seems like everybody's just voices blended together. It's just pretty to hear each other sing, to know out of your hearing that they're there, and that their voices are identifiable, know who they are, singing various parts. And it's just warm, comforting to know that they're there, that they are trying to worship and praise God just as you are. Just what that should mean to each of us to have this privilege to be together, that it's another opportunity for us to pray for each other, may speak words of encouragement to one another, try to share in some of our burdens as well as our joys, and to push each other forward into the week, that we can do the best we can. Looking forward to be with each other next appointed time or in heaven when this life's over. In our Bible class on Wednesday night, in the college and high school class, we are introducing the book of Thessalonians, and been a couple weeks doing some introductory type work, trying to get some background understanding of the book. It's obvious from the five chapters, and of course we're looking at two books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, but in the first five chapters, speaking of the return of Christ. In that process of discussion, we understand that the Thessalonians were the people of Macedonia, and this, of course, where Alexander the Great was from. And then we also noted that the Greek pantheon was also the home of this Greek pantheon was there as well. And so we began to talk a little bit about some of those things, and some of the questions were, do people still worship the pagan gods as they once did? And the answer to that, in the short term, is no, not in the same way. However, paganism and various forms of it continue to be practiced. And we talked a little bit about some of that, but we also noted how that some of the Greek pantheons and some of those things, I think Randall in his class this morning spoke to us about the temple. It was and a wonderful job explaining about what the temples are in the Bible. Not all of them are the temples of God. And so he pointed out there the letter of Corinth was addressed to the Corinthians, which was the home of the temple of Aphrodite or Eros, where we get our word erotic. She was a fertility goddess, and priestesses served in immoral ways there, that people could worship those gods. And, of course, Ephesus, he made mention of that city and the temple that was well known to all, which seems to be the focal point in Ephesus chapter, or the Ephesians conversion in Acts chapter 19. Great is the Diana of the Ephesians, or Artemis is another name given to her. Some Greek, some Roman names are given and translated. She is also made reference to. We thought about some of this mythology and these various influences. Pointed out to him Asclepius, which was the god of healing. I said you can see him or the symbols representing him on maybe an ambulance or near a hospital, which is the pole and the two serpents. Of course, this has its origins there. Nike, the god of victory. You have that a mark on your shoe. Was a temple at Athens for that. And then we talked about various forms of these things. And Rob was sitting in because Brother Grant was absent. And he made mention of the horoscope. People worship in ages gone by and still in some ways the stars of the heavens. People may not really think seriously as they ought to about looking to these stars and constellations and the alignment of them. They'll get their readings and their horoscope or things that's going to happen in their day. It's interesting that politically, over the history of Americans and other leaders as well, who've sourced these alignments, astrology, and some decisions that they've made, and it's known historically that they had done so. And so tonight, I thought we would take a look at that and think about some of these things. We're also in the year that the Mayan calendar says will be our last, 2012, because of the alignment of the stars, the ending of a cycle. And many people take that to heart. There's people who make and draw a lot of conclusions from the stars and the constellations. And is that a source that is credible? Is it one that Christians should look to? And it's not. If you look into the heavens, and Lord willing, if the sky is willing, when we step out into it and embrace the night in a little bit, we'll look up and we'll see the stars and the moon, and we'll enjoy those. We'll look at them for various reasons. They may not have as much significance to us today as they may have in the past, or in some places still yet. Navigation still used by the stars. People make use of them. I know I like to sit on my swing in the backyard and look out through the pines and watch the moon kind of move through. I really enjoy that. It's really nice when I have somebody, one of the church members or friend, come over and sit there on that little swing and talk and watch the stars and the moon come up into the sky in the night. But as we look at it, am I and are you looking at it for some alignment or for a special time in my life? When these stars align up, that's when I might make a crucial decision in my life. Am I destined for something because of the alignment of the stars? Do you hold those views? And are they views that we should hold? In the absence of faith in God, many have sought guidance from other sources. And of course, as we think about this, astrology is one. They've looked to this to be an answer for questions that they might have and crucial decisions that they might make. When you look at that word astrology, it's actually made up, consists of two words. And astro, of course, I think we can basically see when you hear the word astro, you can kind of connect what that means. It's really pertaining to the celestial bodies, cosmos and the sky. And so that's the word astro and what that word means. And then, of course, ology, really the idea of that, the study of or the knowledge of. And so when you look at celestial bodies, the knowledge of celestial bodies, that's what astrology is, and that's what people do. They use various forms to try to understand what these things mean. Biblical or a definition given to astrology, a dictionary definition, I might say, it's the belief that human events are determined by the positioning of the stars and planets at the time of one's birth. Astrologers claim to be able to interpret the future with mythical powers of knowledge of the stars and so on. I think Rob used as an example, he asked them, he says, you know, what sign are you? It's a common thing. It was really something back in the 70s and 80s that people would ask, you know, what sign are you? And then people would say whatever month that they were born in and what constellation represented their birth, and all based on this idea of astrology. Astrology has a really ancient origin to it. As we know it, the modern astrology, it's a product of the Chaldeans who were credited in developing the zodiac calendar or zodiac theory. So what you do is you divide up these constellations with the 12 months of the year and the cycle, of course, that they see. And it looks something like this, and your month of birth will be and fit in somewhere on this chart. Say, for example, Aquarius, which is January 20th through February the 18th. If you were born in that period of time, then that's what you would be. And then you have Pisces, or the fish. February 19th to March 20th. And then you have Aries, or the ram, March 21st to April 29th. And then Tarsus, or the bull, April 20th through May 20th. And then Gemini, or the twins, May 21st to June 21st. And then Cancer, or the crab, June 22nd to July 22nd. My birthday's July 12th, so that's where I would be, right there. Leo, or the lion, July 23rd through August 22nd. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. Libra, the scales, or September 23rd through October 23rd. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. And then Sagittarius, or the archer, November 22nd through December the 21st. And then finally Capricorn, or the sea goat, December 22nd through January the 19th. And you probably already knew all of that anyway, because maybe it's a habit that you might have, is picking up the paper Sunday morning or clicking in and seeing what your horoscope is for the day before you get out of bed. Some people do that religiously, if you will. They look at that more seriously than they ought to. And they may direct a certain course in life by these type of things. And the point is that some of these things can become so practical or common that we don't give any thought to really what we're doing. These might in some way subconsciously cause us to do or not do what we really ought to be doing, or shouldn't be doing for that matter, because of what God has said, not what these symbols might represent. Out of approximately about 1,750 newspapers, which internet era has declined in that in a hurry, not including of course the internet, newspapers are going away for as that goes, internet is the way to go. But in this number in the United States, about 1,300 of those carry a daily horoscope. I remember working in coal fields all the time. You know, everybody would be reading through the radio, talking the radio, and speaking about their horoscopes and various things like that, and talking about this all the time. Just a common thing. You probably see it in your workplace a whole lot. But people are involved in that. And so the horoscope, again, it's a diagram of the heavens showing the relation or the relative position of the planets and the signs of the zodiac as at the moment of a person's birth, used especially to predict events in a person's life. And so you look at that to see maybe what it's going to be for you today. The knowledge of astrology, it's obvious that people look very deeply into this, who write these horoscopes on a daily basis, who encourage you or discourage you from a decision or so on. And so these people are deeply involved religiously to them. And so it's been estimated about 32 million people take seriously their horoscope. Now, when you look at that many people, that's a lot of people who look at this and may view it very seriously in their life. Interesting that even the media seems to be moving this way. As you look at astrology, mysticism, spirit talking, movies that we see now or reality TV where you have the Ghostbusters and so on and dog whispers and this and that and whatever, how people are becoming, moving away from factual, revealed things that God has given into these areas of what they would proclaim wisdom or knowledge that they might have access to or claim to have access to. And we should be weary of those type things. Let's look at what the Bible says about astrology in three areas, and then we'll look more specifically at some other things in just a bit. First of all, God alone knows the future. The stars tell no tales about the future. God knows what the future is, and He is the only one. Isaiah 46 and verses 5 through 10. To whom will you liken me, He says, and make me equal, and compare me, that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves, yes, they worship. They bear it on their shoulder, they carry it, and set it up in its place. And it stands from its place, it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. There is no other than He. He knows all and declares all. We do not know these things that God knows. The next thing, as we think about what the Bible says about astrology, is that man cannot know the future, though he may claim to, or may use some type of trickery, or what we, or some might call magic. He can't see into the future. It just can't be done. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of a fool wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. And the point is that what can they know beyond this day and time? Or the present that we're in. That's all that we know. We would be uttering foolishness to speak beyond where we are in the present. Why do we encourage people to seize the moment or the second? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of decision. Why? Because there is uncertainty of future events. We don't know that. And so we need to understand that only God knows that. We might meet our end before the astrologers say that we're going to. James chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Now, we'll do all this because the horoscope says, this is what I need to do. Things are going to be good for me today. So I'm going to rise up out of my bed, and this is what I'm going to do. Well, that's just not so. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Certainly, emphasis this, and the idea of this is the gravity of life and the uncertainty of it. And just the space of it. But the point is, you do not know what will be. That's in God's hands. He knows the future. He knows the end. And listen, He's given us as free moral agents the privilege and opportunity to choose right over wrong. To use wisdom in the decisions and choices we make. We should be looking to His Word, not to the heavens for that. God will tell us in His will what we should be doing. The third thing, as we think about what the Bible says about astrology, is that the Bible condemns mysticism in this various type of form that we're looking at here. I guess, you know, there are several examples that we could use, but this passage and one other. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery and fornication, uncleanness and lewdness. And I highlight these two. Idolatry is the worship of anything else than God. And that's what people do with astrology. They look to the stars or to the heavens. They credit them. They look for their favor. That's what that is. Sorcery. Might use and say this would be trickery. Some potion. Crystal ball. Some various type of thing. Gas from a cave somewhere that you're lodged out in. Where you can catch a buzz and then tell somebody whatever they want to hear and they believe it. That's happened through the years. People do stuff like that. And so these type of things is where people look to. You have various priests throughout the world in ancient times that the Oracle of Delphi and other places, known to be places where that people would gain some type of insight. Basically what they were doing was, as I understand it, was in the caves and the mountains there were releasing gases, and people were getting high off that and hallucinating. And these hallucinations were interpreted into dreams. These were idolatrous sorcery, trickery. It's not uncommon for American Indians, if you remember, would take peyote, other types of things, smoke it, inhale it, and make decisions based on these things. It's all the same type of thing. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also tell you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Maybe a good biblical example for us to look at would be Simon the sorcerer there in Acts chapter 8. His bewitchment of the people. Maybe an Old Testament example you might look at would be the witch of Endor. If you remember, Saul went to her. And of course we see that it was probably just as much a surprise to her as it was to Saul when Samuel spoke from the grave. That was God's doing, not hers. And what we find is that Saul went to the wrong place for a source there. He shouldn't have done that to begin with anyway. Another passage, Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 through 8. And he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega," and the Omega rather, "the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now, think about what verse 6 and 7 is telling us. But, here's the contrast, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and idolaters," same list that was given in Galatians 5, "and all liars," here's what will be their sentence, "shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Astrology and these type of things are not what God's people should be looking for answers. And in fact, that's the message that we should be carrying out into the world, is that you need to look to God. Put your faith and trust and confidence in Him. Live your life in a way to be pleasing to Him, not these gods of the world. That would be a very strong message in the days of the apostles and these temples and various things that were around them, that they saw what people did. Very religiously. People are just a little bit more subtle about it today, but they still have their idols. And we can have ours if we're not careful. I want you to consider some evils of astrology, then I'll give the lesson to you. Here's the first one. It degrades God and His Word. As we look into the heavens for our answers, we're not putting God in our hearts where we need to. Astrology causes people to trust in the horoscope, and so, in other words, the newspaper, the internet, of what somebody writes in there for you, instead of looking to God's Word or the Bible for the answers that you need. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17 tells us about what the Bible is and should be to us. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." That's something that you can use. Now here's where the areas that you can use it. "For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." It'll help you make life's decisions. "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." God's given us everything that we need that you and I can live a productive life, honorable life, just and holy, and present ourselves to Him in a way that He'd be pleased. The Bible tells us everything to do. It steers us away from things we shouldn't be involved in, practices and occupations and entertainment and everything else, because of what it says what we should be doing. It should steer us in the right way, and it will, rather than looking to the stars, traveling across land and sea to get somewhere to talk to some type of famous person who might have an answer for us, like Nostradamus, or think about the people in his time, probably, that looked to him. Probably, from what I gather, in hiding more so. But in modern times, his writings have just flooded people's minds, and they grab a hold of it and take it as Scripture. Here's the second thing. It makes slaves of its followers. Now, when you think about the horoscopes and these various things here, if those are the things that you hang on to, look what it's really doing to you. Now, about 32 million people who faithfully follow the horoscope become slaves to its predictions. If they religiously follow it, then what's it going to say? How many songs have you heard sung related to the horoscope? Country songs. I think there's one young lady I think of that she makes mention of. She won't get out of bed until she read her horoscope. But be that as it may, people who do this religiously might make a decision, maybe concerning the well-being of our country, war decision, maybe in a political position, who might seek after these type of things to find the answers. It's happened. And great leaders in the past have done it. Is that really what they should have done? No, it's not. Romans chapter 6 and verses 16 through 18. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Now, if we're going to look to these things for insight into our future, and if it's going to make our decision for us, then we're becoming a slave to it. It is what we're sourcing to know what we need to do, whether of sin or leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. He praises them for what they did. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 8 again and think about Simon the sorcerer. From the least to the greatest, they were bewitched. But when they saw the miracles that Philip was doing, they obeyed the gospel. They believed and were baptized. And it says, after Simon also believed and was baptized. So he knew the difference between what he was doing and what was really going on. And if you remember, his heart wasn't right. He liked the position. So he tried to buy that power himself, and his heart wasn't right. Peter let that be known to him, and that he needed to correct that. But people become slaves to that. And they were free, broken free, because of the truth of the gospel that they were able to witness by Philip preaching to them the power of the gospel through Christ. Here's the third thing. It destroys human accountability. Now, think about that for a minute. If everything's already predetermined, predestined, if you will, then that's just the way it's going to be. I don't have any real decision in the matter. And so what do, whether it's good or bad, is a product of the alignment of the cosmos or the stars. And so it's going to determine our tendencies of our character. If we were born in a certain month, time of year, then this is generally the way that we're going to act. Well, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. We make the choice of how that we conduct our life. Paul said in Galatians 6 and verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived, God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. It's your decision. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so ask ourselves, you know, where are we giving credit here? Is it a choice that we can make in the matter? It is. We can do right or we can do wrong. And so it's not what the stars say, it's what you say, it's what you do where the answer is. Here's the fourth one. It causes worship of the cosmos. Now think about people looking up into the heavens and the stars and looking at them as being the answer. You know, the new humanist, the new evolutionist, they look up into the skies and they see the vastness of it, the beauty of it, and they're fascinated by it. They worship it. They look to it, the creation itself. Many of them, and praise it. You know, it's interesting how the websites and various things now that are catering to this type of thought is that they're taking their creature or their creation and making it their God, is where evolutionary theories and ideas are really going in its pure form. And so astrology forces people to give credit to, and honor and worship, if you will, to sun, moon, stars, planets, instead of God. They may look to these things as being the answer for them. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 19, God had warned his people about this. And take heed, lest you lift up your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord God, or the Lord your God, has given to all the peoples under the whole heavens as a heritage. Now, what is that? It's a heritage. And it can be very beneficial for them in a lot of ways, but in the right ways, not in the wrong ways. They will give you some signs. There are some things that the scriptures even speak about. Jesus spoke of it himself. What happens when you see a red sky at night? That's the sailor's delight. A red sky in the morning, what the sailor's warning. And so there are things that we can see, like I pointed out, navigational purposes. There's a lot of good in that. And also, some constellations are spoken of because of what's going on in them, that the Bible speaks about, that the human eye wouldn't have known about in the modern times. It's other evidences that we serve and worship a great God who created all these things and knows about them before we knew about them and told us about them. Now that's power. These are things that show the handiwork of God, as Romans chapter 1 point out. Here's the fifth thing. It's a complete deception is what astrology is as well. Astrology at its best is really a wild guess, if you want to put it that way. It's really just make up anything. There's a lot of people who have actually looked at Nostradamus and other astrologers who have made predictions. And they've seen in a lot of their quatrains and so on, just thousands and thousands of statements. Well, if you look at all that stuff and that much of it, you can pull a little line out here and a little line out there and a little line up here and put that together. And you make about say whatever you want it to. Say something 100 times and probably once you'll get it right. Well, then over a period of time you cut off all the rest of it and hang on to those things that you got right. And then that becomes, well, this person has some divine insight here. Is he using astrology and these various things to come up with these conclusions? That's not necessarily the case. It finds application in someone's life. It's really a total chance is all that it is. Daniel chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, if you remember when Daniel was called for to interpret this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had seen. But now he did something different here. He called upon his soothsayers and his magicians to tell him what it was before he told them. Now, Daniel could do that, and he did. But now these fellows confess something that's true right here, in part. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean." It's too difficult. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now, of course, Daniel's going to clarify this. There is a God. He is the God. And Daniel's going to let Nebuchadnezzar know who he is and what he said and what he meant. Now, that's power. But the rest of it is just what these fellas said. Ain't nobody knows that stuff. It's just a deception, clear admission on their part. But Daniel came to tell the tale. God had given him insight to it. Because he is the living God, the one that we worship and serve, and who's gave us guidance and direction for our life. Here's a conclusion then. As the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork, Psalm 19, verse 1. But they don't guide our spiritual lives. They're there. They show us things, tell us things. They tell us that there's a God there. But that's not what we look to for guidance. What we do is look for God's Word. We've got to look through God, or look to God through his Word to direct our lives. That's leaning, depending, and trusting him to guide us through this life and into life to come, or eternal life, if you will. And so you can trust God. And that's really all that you should trust. It's what he said. Trust him. He'll make a way for you. As you navigate yourself through this life, look to God. You can serve him and obey him, submit to his will. He's made it possible through his son, sacrifice on the cross, his shed blood that we can find redemption, forgiveness of our sin, obedience to the gospel. Through faith, repenting, confessing our faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of our sins, that we can raise up to walk a new life, putting away these things of the flesh, living a godly life, looking for answers that He gives in His Word. If we can assist you and encourage you in any way and help you become a Christian or correct something in your life, you can correct that on any level that you need to. All things are ready. Won't you come? We stand and sing.